Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Homeder.
Well, the week did turn around. Inflation continued to look like it was decreasing. So the Dow finished flat for the week. The S&P 500 was up slightly, 0.2%. In fact, we hit a year-to-date high on the S&P 500 on Friday, closing at 46.04. And the NASDAQ was up 0.7, MSCI up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury closing at 4.23%. And oil had another tough week, down almost 4% at $71.20 a barrel. So taking a look at the economy, the first of what I call it the big three kicked off yesterday with the jobs report. And so obviously this is a measure of inflation about what's going on in the November. This was for last month's job action. Now, as you know, we talk about the Goldilocks and the porridge bowl, right? Is it just right? Well, I'm going to say yesterday's report was just right. And why? Well, this is why. The number came in at 199,000. And importantly, the unemployment rate fell to 3.7%. And when we look at the wage increase for the month, it was up 0.4%. But year over year, right around 4%. So that's pretty healthy. And this shows that the job market is still strong and that the economy is humming along, but it's starting to moderate, starting to ease off a little bit. And so that's healthy. That's a healthy economic indicator that, of course, we want to keep our eye on because that is important. Now, next week, we're going to have two more of the big three, and it's going to start on Tuesday with the Consumer Price Index, which is a direct measure of inflation. So we'll see what that says. And then that, of course, is right before Wednesday where the Fed has their decision. I don't expect them to do anything there, which is welcomed. So again, Tuesday, Wednesday, be looking for those two things because what they're going to do is they're going to signal what the Fed will possibly do. And of course, the market is completely driven by that data right now. So if there's any sort of indication that it's going to be higher rates for longer, that's where that could be the tipping point of, again, some modest pullback on these indexes, which have done fairly well this year. So those are the things you want to be looking out for when it comes to the economy. Now, I had a great question, as I mentioned. And again, if you want to ask me a question, questions at pyaradio.com. This came from George. And George wanted to know, what are GLP-1 drugs? And why do they matter so much to the market right now? This is a good question. So thanks, George, for asking this. The long-term impact of what they call GLP-1 drugs has been a pretty significant story this year. But lately, it's had a bigger macro impact as expectations for this drug has resulted in some substantial gains for two specific large-cap pharma stocks. And the recent weakness in what was known as safe food stocks has shown their underperformance so far this year. So George is wondering, you know, what does this mean longer term? So the reason these GLP-1 drugs, George, have had such a varied and broad impact on different parts of the market can be summed up like this. There are expectations that these GLP-1 drugs could result in substantially less food consumption across the country in the coming years. Now, why? Put simply, they literally could reduce the demand for food. Just think about it that way. So, George, what I thought I would do this morning is explain what is or are GLP-1 drugs. Two, why they've impacted markets. And three, how to gain exposure to them, whether you're for them or you're contrarian against them. Where are the action right now? Okay. So let's start with, what's a GLP-1 drug? Well, the brand name of two of the most popular GLP-1 drugs are Ozempic and Wegovy. Now, these are both produced by Novo Nordisk. GLP-1 drugs were initially designed as a diabetes drug, as GLP-1 drugs stimulate the body to produce more insulin after someone has eaten. The extra insulin helps to reduce sugar levels and is proven very effective in controlling type 2 diabetes. But along the way, users of the drug noticed a side effect. They weren't hungry, and they were losing weight. And studies have found that using GLP-1 drugs can lead to 10 to 15 pounds of weight loss. Given that, these now are being marketed as weight loss drugs, and their popularity has simply exploded. So, why has this impacted markets? Well, in short, because a lot of people are starting to use them. Get this, in the second quarter alone, sales of Ozempic rose more than 50% from a year ago, sitting at $2.1 billion. If you can believe that, that was in 22, and now it's at $3.2 billion. Wegovy sales rose 30% from 2022, $1.1 billion. So that is having a direct impact on two of the biggest pharma stocks that have first mover advantage, Novo Nordisk, like I mentioned, who produces Ozempic and Wegovy, and Eli Lilly, who manufactures Mounjaro, I guess it's called. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Anyways, they're up 60% year to date. So the names that don't do this, like Merck's down 5%, Pfizer collapsing 42% because of the COVID lack and demand of the vaccine. And that's what's going on there. Now, when we look at the other side of this coin, the food producers, companies like Constellation, Kraft, ConAgra, Mondelez, well, they've lagged the S&P 500. In the cases of Kraft and ConAgra, down 12% and 26% year-to-date, respectively. Reasoning? Well, estimates for GLP-1 drug usage forecast 25 to 50, that's a pretty big number, million users by 2030. And if GLP-1 drugs reduce appetite by, say, 10 to 20%, then the impact of aggregate food consumption will be in the low single-digit percentage, that's according to Bank of America. So for the food companies, that's evaporation of real and substantial demand. Now, this past week, the concerns were compounded by John Furner, Walmart CEO of U.S. Operations, who said during the October earnings call that they save a reduction in aggregate food demand from shoppers who are fueling these GLP-1 prescriptions. Point being, it's anecdotal and still early, but the risk here to food companies is real. So finally, because food companies are a large part of consumer staple ETFs, their poor performance has impacted the returns of ETFs like XLP, which has declined 4.6% year-to-date. And while part of that has been lack of growth and slowdown and higher yields that make dividend stocks less attractive, a big part of the underperformance has been concerns about food demand. So the bottom line here is the evolution of these GLP-1 drugs, George, and how they impact food demand is something that's real, and you want to pay attention to it. So, thank you, George. It was an interesting question, and I do appreciate it. Now, our best case scenario for next year is going to see the Fed cut rates maybe three times, and I think it's going to happen in the second half of the year. Don't expect it up front. That's what I'm saying. That should help bond prices increase, particularly on the longer duration of the maturity curve. I think interest rate stability next year, as opposed to this year, could be the catalyst for a rotation from this year's equity winners to the laggards. Like what? Well, I think the narrow market leadership this year in the Magnificent Seven, helped by the craze in AI, has created a value gap. And there's opportunity still in small cap value, traditional defensive areas. So take a look.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.